Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in with John Hansen, who does the It's All Good Block Club Chicago podcast and also is on, what's that show called at 6 o'clock, What Happened to Your Money?
What Happened to Bob Surratt's Money is what we're changing it to.
Six to seven. And you get to see John in action at the United Center during the Blackhawks games. Let's talk about this list, and I really like it when they come out with this every year, these seven buildings that are in danger around Chicago. Is this from the architecture people, John?
It is. Some of the people do cross over, but it's technically from a group called Preservation Chicago, although a lot of the buildings they pick, they've obviously worked with the architecture folks as well, and they've done this every year since 2003. So my math would say that's 21 years. They pick the seven most endangered buildings in Chicago, and they run the gamut each year from different ones from the north side, south side, west side. They've had a lot of success over the years, but they don't bat 100%. Some of the things that are on the list end up getting demolished. Some of them end up getting converted. It's all about trying to encourage people to pay attention to the list and see if they can get some signatures and petitions. So you want me to give you some of the 2024 endangered building list, Bob?
Yes, because you've got places downtown and all through the city, don't you?
You do, yeah. Let's start downtown. The kind of two buildings that you probably pass often if you walk down up and down State Street right near the L tracks. It's the Century and Consumers buildings. They were built in 1915 and 1913, and they're empty right now. The federal government owns the buildings. They took them over in 2005. They did get some earmarked infrastructure bill money for the buildings to be demolished in 2022, but the preservation group wants them to be reused. They have a rich history to them, but the buildings do continue to languish, and they're just old and historic. And I think that's kind of the tug and pull of trying to save these buildings, recognizing that there needs to be some changes in the city, right? And there's always new developments, but which ones do you knock down? Which ones do you save? And those two top the list. But there's plenty other ones. There's a row of brick and stone townhouses on Sheffield Avenue near where DePaul wants to build their athletic center. They're rich in history. They date back to the 1890s, the 1920s. They were converted into apartments. And, you know, the Preservation Chicago, they don't advocate just for keeping the buildings just for the sake of it. They can be repurposed, right? Maybe it's about saving the facade and changing what's happening in the backside. Maybe it's converting the space and using it in a more creative way, but just acknowledging the history of the buildings that exist there and trying to at least keep parts or all of it to for future generations.
Yes. Go to blockclubchicago.org and check out that list. Mm-hmm. Well, this is good news for James Bond fans. The Museum of Science and Industry has got an interesting exhibit. What's about this?
Yeah, this is cool. So, obviously, watching a Bond film, you know, when you're sitting in the theater and eating your popcorn, you just say, oh, yeah, of course, James Bond can jump from a motorcycle onto an airplane, or he can use a jetpack to get a quick airborne getaway like he did in Thunderball, or he can use his Aston Martin to shoot out a group of assassins in No Time to Die. But we never really think about how the physics of that is possible, how the science of that is possible, until now. The MSI has just opened a new exhibit that runs through October, 007 Science, Inventing the World of James Bond. And this team has been in conjunction with Eon Productions, the film company in Britain that actually produces these film series, as well as the Ian Fleming Foundation, which inexplicably is based out of Kankakee, Illinois, which I never knew, by the way. They all teamed together to create this. There's 90 artifacts, including at least one from each and every Bond film. But it's supposed to dive into why they work, why scientifically it could work. They dive into Q's gadgets and the weaponry that was obviously way ahead of its time and find out exactly how it actually might work.
You know what? I'm reminded of an interview we did with the actor who played Q. He has since passed on, but that was a fascinating story. But that's going to be a very popular exhibit, no doubt.
Are you talking about Desmond Llewellyn, by the way?
Yes, Desmond Llewellyn.
interestingly enough, the man, and Seamus Toomey, our good friend, pointed this out. The guy who's in head of creating this, his last name is Llewellyn, so it just kind of fits perfectly.
Well, that's a wild coincidence. Okay, yeah, right. let's do the breaking beer news now. What do you got for us?
I really like this. I'm a big fan of sitting down at a brew pub and just trying to figure out the new taste that they have. This one is in Ravenswood, along their Malt Row, as it's been called, because they have so many breweries in that area. It's a nano brewery, which means they don't set up as much. And it's called Demo Brewing Company. And demo is the key part here. It doesn't refer to demolition, but more like a demo mixtape. Because what they're going to do is have some mixes of beers, like 8 to 10 of them on tap. But two will always be kind of new concoctions that you as the taster will kind of determine whether it's a keeper or not. They want to experiment with their beers, and they always have those variations coming on. Right now, their demos are Sue Me, a light crystal Kolsch with a slight bite and some citrus twists in it as well. And again, it's a nano brewery. It's up on the north side at 1763 Bertreau. That's one of the ones I can't say very easily.
Bertreau.
And it's a cool place. Just opened up for a soft launch, but towards the end of the month, March 29th, they're going to have their grand reopening. I like that. I think that breweries that admit, hey, we're trying a couple ones that we don't know. You tell us what you think. I think that's a good way to do it.
You be the judge.
Yeah.
And finally, we have the story of Fred Mitchell. This is not Fred Mitchell, the great now retired sports writer for the Chicago Tribune. Tell us about this man.
Yeah, this is a really excellent story. It is such a long read. I'll try and just sum up just the hints of it. Fred Mitchell was a West Side he was born in 1929 on a plantation and was part of the Great Migration, like so many black families moving into Chicago's West and Southwest sides. And he would walk into the alderman's office when he moved to Chicago and was looking for a job, essentially trying to become a part of the political machine we all learned from. This article from Mick Dumke dives into his long history into Chicago politics. Someone that's not a famous name. So many of these people are forgotten to the record books who helped make Chicago run the way it did. And this article by Mick really dives into this history of when a lot of black families moved to the West and South sides, even as the neighborhoods changed so much and they became black majority neighborhoods, there was for a long time still a white alderman who was kept in power. And it was interesting to hear how black families kind of navigated this and still kept patronage and jobs and made impacts on their community. He died last year at the age, I think it was 93 last September. So Mick Dumke, who has written great articles about Chicago's political past and present, just really wanted to highlight kind of one of the unsung heroes. He was a Korean War veteran, ended up being a bailiff in the court system, which was a patronage job at the time, hired by aldermen to get people off on petty offenses because the bailiff could like pass a note to the judge. So this read of Block Club Chicago Org, it's an interesting look at our past and celebrating one of our many people in the political world.
Great Chicago story. I'm glad it's being told. John Hansen, thank you, John. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Bob. Thank you.